Pirkei Eliezer, Perek Mem Ches, 48. Here, this Perek, the Menush, is going to discuss various things that have to do with Golos and Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're going to speak about the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu's early life and Moshe Rabbeinu's encounters with Paro and how they knew that the Geula has arrived in Mitzrayim. But the first thing we're going to discuss in the Perek is why the Jews ended up going to Mitzrayim. Why did Hashem make this happen, this Golos Mitzrayim? How long was it supposed to happen for? And exactly the cheshbonos of how long the Jews were in Mitzrayim and how long they were serving the Egyptians. So the Medrash begins like this. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Posach. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai opened this discussion by quoting first the following pasuk. It says in Parashas Lech Lecha, "Bayayim ahu koras Hashem es Avram bris," etc. On that day, Hashem made with Avram Avinu a covenant. It's talking about the day of the bris bin Absarim, the covenant between the pieces. That's what they call it. And Hashem made a deal with Avram Avinu. We're going to see exactly what that entails. But, yeah. Amar Avram lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Avram Avinu said to Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Lo nasati li zara, you did not give me any offspring. Vata omer li lizaracha etenes oretz hazois. And you're telling me that to your offspring I'm going to give you this land? I don't have any offspring. How could you be promising me that my offspring are going to get Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, if I don't have any? Shenemar, hein li lo inosat azara. Behold, you have not given me offspring. And a few psukim later it says, Avram Avinu said to Hashem, Bama eda ki iroshana. How do I know that I'm going to inherit it? Meaning Eretz Yisrael. So Avram Avinu had two questions to Hashem. First of all, you said my offspring are going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. I don't have any offspring. What are you talking about? Secondly, how do I know I'm going to get Eretz Yisrael? Show me. Give me a sign. So if you look in the Psukim, in Parshas Lech Lecha, Bereishis Perek Tezvav, Bereishis Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Ches. Yeah. So it says, Vayoimar, Avram Avinu said, Hashem Elikim, Bama Ida Kiroshana. How do I know I'm going to get it? So Hashem said to him, Vayoimar Elov, you should take a bunch of animals and cut them in half and walk in between them, and that's going to be a sign that we're making a special deal together. And then in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Hashem says, "Vayomer le'Avram." Hashem said to Avram, in that night in a dream, Hashem said to Avram, "Yodaya teida, you should know, ki ger yihi azarecha be'eretz le'lohem, strangers, your descendants will be in a land that does not belong to them. Va'avodum ve'inuysom, and they will be enslaved and afflicted there, 400 years." That's what it says in the Pesukim. So the Medrash says, Amar Oy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said back to Avram Avinu, Avram, Kol Ha'olam Kulai B'Diburi Hu Oymed, Avram, the whole world stands according to my word. I'm in charge of the whole world, Hashem says to him. Ve'en Ata Ma'amin B'Divori, you don't believe what I said? I said you're going to have descendants. I said they're going to get Eretz Yisrael. What are you asking questions? That's the way it is. I run the world. What would you? Ella, you're asking, how do I know I'm going to get it? Chayaga, I swear that shtei pa'amim yadoya teida kiger. I swear two things. Yadoya teida kiger. Shenema yadoya teida kiger yezarecha. Hashem makes the way the Mefarshim Masbit, Avraham Avinu had two questions. What happened to the offspring that you promised? And how do I know I'm going to get Eretz Yisrael? Because of that, Hashem made a decree that they're going to be I have two pieces of bad news for you. First of all, you're going to have descendants. Your descendants are going to go in a foreign land for 400 years. That's one piece of bad news. The other piece of bad news is that they're going to be slaves over there. Two pieces of bad news connected the two things that Avraham Avinu was questioning Hashem about.
You're
going to have kids, but they're going to be in a foreign land for 400 years. That's one thing. And that your kids also going to be enslaved. Yeah. So this is the repercussions of Avraham Avinu questioning Hashem by the Bris Ben Abzarim.
400 years is because of Avraham questioning the Eibishter?
That's what it says in the Pesukim right here. By Avraham Avinu, Hashem says, Ki ger yeh zarecha be'eretz lo lehem avodum v'inu osam arba me'e shana, for 400 years.
No, that I know, but yeah. I mean, it's a repercussion that wasn't so clear to me.
That's what Pashas, what we're saying over here.
Yeah. Because I never counted any time of Avraham Avinu being chutzpah this.
Yeah. Right. So actually, the Marzu, one of the Mefarshim over here in Pirkei Avot Eliezer, says that we started off this whole discussion by quoting a pasuk at the end of this whole story of the Bris Ben Absarim, where it says, "Bayayimu kaz Hashem es Avram Bris Lemar." He wants to point out an important idea of the Oimek Hadin. Oimek Hadin is it shows that the depth of Hashem's judgment. Yeah, on the day, the best day of Avraham Avinu's life, where he got the best news ever that he's going to get Eretz Yisrael and he's going to have descendants, on that day, and Hashem is giving him so much good, one little thing that he sort of questions, like, how do I know? That already made severe repercussions, and Hashem is going to give him an einish for it, a punishment.
So it's like a tzaddik, the din is very, very fine.
Right, it's very fine.
You vary just the slightest amount by a regular person.
It wouldn't make a way. It wouldn't make it, right. Okay. So, now, there's an important discussion over here. To figure out the chronology of Avraham Avinu's life. And it doesn't seem like it's so important right now, but when we get to the end of this discussion, we'll see what the difference is. But if you look in the Pesukim of Parshas Lech Lecha in a nutshell, the Pesukim of Parshas Lech Lecha talks about Avraham Avinu, Hashem says, Lech Lecha me'artzecha, go leave your father's land, right, and come to Eretz Canaan. And he goes to Eretz Canaan, and the Pasuk says that how old was he when he came left Haran to go to Eretz Canaan? The Pasuk says, Perig Yud Beis, Pasuk Dalet, Vayelach Avram went, Kasher Diber Elav Hashem, like Hashem said to him, Vayelach Itoi Loit, and Loit came with him, Vavram ben Chamesh Anim v'Shivim Sharno b'Tzisem Yecharan. And Avram was 75 years old when he left Haran. The Pasuk says he was 75 when he left Haran to go to Eretz Canaan. And then he went to Eretz Canaan, and there was a famine, so he went to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, and then after he came back from Egypt, he went back to Eretz Canaan. And then there was a fight between the shepherds of Avram and Lot went away, and he went to Sodom, and then there was a war with the four kings and the five kings, and Lot was captured, and Avram Avinu goes and he fights, and he saves them. And then after all of that, then the story says, Achar Advar Ma'ela, in the beginning of Perek Tesvav, Bereishis, then we say this story over here that we just talked about, the Bris Ben Absar. So what it seems is that the story of the Bris Ben Absar happened after all these things in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. That's what it seems like from the order of the simple pshat in the Torah. However, Chazal tell us like this. Chazal in Seder Olam, and Rashi goes with this Mahalach as well. They tell us, and really, first of all, there's two Yusayis over here. The first Yusayid is a concept called Ein Muktam U'Me'ochar B'Torah. There's no earlier and later in the Torah. The Torah is not a history book, and therefore the narrative as it's written in the Torah cannot be taken as an actual historical chronology. The Torah is recording events in a certain order because it wants you to understand things in a certain order. But that does not necessarily mean that it happened exactly in that order. Therefore, Chazal tell us that really what happened was Avraham Avinu left Canaan and came to Eretz Yisrael when he was 70 years old. And that's when we had this story of the Bris Ben Absar. Then he went back to Haran, and when he went back to Haran for 5 years, And when he was there, Hashem said, "Go to Eretz Yisrael, Lech Lecha." And then he went, left Haran again, went back, came back to Eretz Yisrael. And at that point, he was 75 years old. And then from there, all the other stories happened. He went to Egypt, and then he went, the stories of Lot, etc. And then, even though after all of this is written, the story of the Bris Bina Pesarim, really, the story of the Bris Bina Pesarim happened before the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. That's what Chazal tells us. It comes out that according to Chazal, the story of the Bris Bina Pesarim happened when Avraham Avinu was 70 years old. Okay? That's the way Rashi goes, Seder Olam, Rashi, that's the opinion of Chazal. Comes along the Ramban, and the Ramban argues on both points that we made over here. First of all, the Ramban says, "You tell me, ain muktam u'mukhar b'tera?" No, no such thing. The way that it's written in the Torah, the order that it says in the Torah, that is the order. You can't play around and say, no, this happened before this. The Torah says it like this. That's the way it goes. That's one point that the Ramban makes. Second point the Ramban makes is, if it says that Avraham Avinu was 75 years old when he went from Haran to Eretz Yisrael, so that means he was 75 years old. And all these stories happened after that happened. So the Ramban contends that the story of the Bris Bina Pesarim happened when Avraham Avinu was older than 75. More than 75. So over here you have a machlokes between, let's call it Rashi and the Ramban. Was Avraham Avinu 70, like Rashi says, by the Bris Bina Pesarim? Or was Avraham Avinu over 75, like the Ramban says? That's one point. We'll see why this machlokes is important a little bit later on. But that's machlokes Rashi and Ramban. Fine. Now, in the Bris Bina Pesarim, we said that Hashem told Avraham Avinu that his descendants are going to be in a foreign land and enslaved for 400 years. Abba Meir Shana. Now, the truth is that nobody says that Klal Yisrael was literally in Mitzrayim for 400 years. It's accepted that is for sure not the pshat. Nobody says that. Why is that true? Why is it that nobody says that they were literally in Mitzrayim for 400 years? So the answer is, the Seder Olam brings a cheshbon why it can't be true. If you look in Parshas Va'era, Shmois Perek Zayin, Perek Vav. Let's say from Pasuk Yud Ches, like this. We know in Parshas Vayigash, the Torah tells us the names of all 70 members of the family of Yaakov Avinu that came down to Mitzrayim. Among the 70 names of the family of Yaakov Avinu is the son of Levi. His name is Kehos, grandson of Yaakov Avinu, Kehos. Now, Kehos was the father of Amram, and Amram was the father of Moshe Avinu. The Torah in Parshas Vo'era, Shmois, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Ches, said that Kehos lived for 133 years. Two psukim later, it says that Amram lived for 137 years. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was 80 years old. So that's a pasuk also in Parshas Va'era, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. It says that Moshe was 80 years old at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if you add up all three of these people's years, the years of Kehos, 133, plus the years of Amram, 137, plus 80 of Moshe Rabbeinu, you do not get anywhere near 400. So it can't, and that's even if they don't overlap. So, and we know that for sure they did overlap, because Kehos was born, each person was born in the lifetime of their father, Pashtus. Right? So you don't even get to 400 years. From the person who came, people that came down to Mitzrayim, till the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is for sure not 400 years, according to this cheshbon. That's what the Seder Olam says. And so we know for sure that the Jews were not literally in Mitzrayim for 400 years. It had to have been actually less than 400 years. Why does the Torah say that they were there for 400 years, or it says even 430 years? That we're going to see later on. But we know that it wasn't 400 years. Now, Pirkei Avos is going to make a little bit more of a detailed cheshbon. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah Omer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah says, Lo yashva Yisrael b'Mitzrayim el Mosayim v'Esar Shanim. The Jews did not dwell in Mitzrayim except for 210 years. They only lived in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Right? So we said why for sure it's not 400. He's going to tell us why it is 200. Okay? You should know that this is true. Why? Come and see. Kishiyorad Yosef leMitzrayim haya ben 17 shana. When Yosef came down to Mitzrayim, he was 17 years old. I don't know why it says this piece of information. This is not relevant to the discussion, really. Uvam deLevnei Paro haya ben 30 shana. This is relevant. When he stood in front of Paro, he was 30 years old. Shenemar, it's a pasuk in Parshas Miketz. VYosef ben 30 shana. Yosef was 30 years old when he stood in front of Paro. And he stood in front of Paro, and he interpreted Paro's dream, right? And Paro made him the viceroy, right? So in the dream was that there's going to be 7 years of surplus and then 7 years of famine. So let's make the cheshbon. V'sheva shnei hasava, 7 years of surplus, right? So now Yosef is 37. Ushtaim shnei harav, 2 years of the famine. Harei shleishim v'sei shoshana. So you get now Yosef is 39 years old. When we're talking about 2 years into the years of famine, and 2 years into the years of famine, that's when Yaakov Avinu and the whole family came down to live in Mitzrayim. So Yosef was 39 years old when the family came down to Mitzrayim. The Levi ben Yaakov hayagadol miYosef sheish shanim. Levi, the son of Yaakov, Yosef's brother, was older than Yosef by 6 years. Therefore, if Yosef was 39 years old when his family moved to Mitzrayim, then Levi was 45 years old when the family came down to Mitzrayim. Over Riddata to Mitzrayim, when Levi came down to Mitzrayim, Haya ben Arboim v'chamesh shana. He was 45 years old, like we just said. Ushnei Haya ben Mitzrayim tishim v'ushtayim shana. Harei me'er ushleishim v'sheva shana. Behold, it comes out, if you have 45 plus 92, you come out to 137. Shenemar ushnei chaye Levi me'er ushleishim v'sheva. Levi lived for 137 years. And we know that when he came down to Mitzrayim, he was 45 years old. Therefore, it means that he lived in Mitzrayim for 92 years. But this isn't necessarily the point over here. The point is like this. Uvirinatele Mitzrayim, when Levi came down to Mitzrayim, when Levi came down to Mitzrayim, that's when his wife gave birth to his daughter Yocheved. Okay? Chazal tell us, it's a pasuk in Parshas Pinchas, it says, Asher Yalda Isa LeLevi b'Mitzrayim. It says about Yocheved, that Yocheved was born to Levi in Mitzrayim. And Chazal tell us, Yalda Isa b'Mitzrayim. She was born in Mitzrayim, but she was conceived before they got to Mitzrayim. So basically, Chazal are telling us the Yocheved was born like right when they got to Mitzrayim. The Lashon of the Gemara is that it was Bein HaChemes. Mamash, like in between the border. She was born like in between the border. A question of that literally means she was born in between the border, or means that she was born like right when they got there. But Yocheved was born Mamash right when they got to Mitzrayim. And we have Chazal have a Kabbalah. This is the way the Radal explains it. Chazal of a Kabbalah that Ubas Meir Ushleishim Shana Yolda as Moshe. She was 130 years old when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Umoshe ben Shmainim Shana. Moshe was 80 years old when by Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Moshe was 80 years old by Yitzias Mitzrayim, and his mother gave birth to him when she was 130, and she was born right when they came to Mitzrayim. So it comes out that 130 plus 80 is 210. Harei kulon masayim v'eser kiminyan gedu. It comes out that all the years that the Jews were in Mitzrayim was 210 years, like the gematria of the word redu, that Hashem told Yaakov Avinu redu shama. Go, Hashem. They said Yaakov Avinu said redu shama. Go down to Mitzrayim. Redu is gematria 210, and we just made this cheshbon of how we know that the Jews were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. What? There's a few interesting points to speak about over here. First of all, like this. Let's look at this. All right. The Radal brings an interesting point over here. The Radal in Ois Tess brings a Targum Yonason in Parshas Va'ira that the Targum Yonason says that Levi lived to see Moshe and Aaron. That's what it says in the Targum Yonason. Now, according to what we're saying, that doesn't make any sense. Because we said that Levi lived to be 137 years old. And we know that Levi's daughter, Yocheved, gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu when she was 130. Now, that would have to mean that Levi was 7 years old when Yocheved was born, right when they came to Mitzrayim. But we know that he wasn't. We know that he was 45, we said. So how could you say that Levi saw Moshe and Aaron? He died way before they were born. So that the Radal says that I don't understand this Targum Yonason. It's interesting, an interesting point. But I saw a very there's only one answer that I found for this Targum Yonason. This is brought in the sefer, like the Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita has a sefer on the Rambam's introduction. It's called Bishar Melech, the Rambam's introduction to the Yad HaZaka. It's called Bishar Melech, in the gate of the king. Rav Chaim Kanievsky in his sefer Bishar Melech writes, he brings down this Radal, he brings the obvious question on it, and he says that you have to say that when the Torah, according to the Targum Yonason, when the Torah said that Levi lived 137 years, it means 137 years after he had his kids. Or after he had his main kids, let's say. After he fathered Yocheved. So if it means 137 years after he fathered Yocheved, so then, and Yocheved had Moshe Rabbeinu when she was 130, so that means that Levi died when Moshe Rabbeinu was 7 years old. That's the chesed of Chaim Kanievsky brings. He says this in the name of an anonymous chacham, chacham echad. And I searched on some svarim and I found that this pshat is also brought in a sefer called Igra de Kala from Rav Tzvi Eli Melech of Dinov, who also wrote the Bnei Yisoschar in this chassidish sefer. So he also says this answer. Now, it sounds a little bit funny because like, the Torah seems to be saying he lived 137 years. But there is some precedent to such an idea. Because if you look in Parshas Bereishis and Noach, when it talks about the generation, all the generations of different people, by each person would say, and so was this age when his son, you know, the next guy was born. And then the Torah said, the next person would say, and he lived such and such years after that son was born. We do find the concept that the Torah would count how many years a person lived after a specific child of his is born. So it's not so far-fetched what Rav Chaim Kanievsky and what the Igra de Kala are trying to say over here. Okay, that's one issue. The other issue is like this. The Rishonim discussed a very interesting question. We said that Yocheved was how old when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu? 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. The question is like this. The Ibn Ezra in Parshas Vayigash asks this. The Torah makes a whole big deal of Sarah, that Sarah was 90 years old when she gave birth to Yitzchak. Halavas Tishim Shana Tehilid Bein, she was 90 years old, and the Torah, there was a Navi, the Malach came, and a Navi, and it was like a whole thing, and Chazal tell us that like everyone was like so astonished, and they didn't believe it was really her kid, and they made a whole party, or whatever. But fine. So that's Sarah. But there's a bigger nace over here. Yocheved gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, she was 130. That's way older than, 40 years older than Sarah. So why over here, this isn't even mentioned in the Torah. This is like, if we make a cheshbonos, we can come out that this will happen. But why don't we speak about this nace? It was an even bigger nace. This is the Ibn Ezra in Parshas Vayigash's question. So there's a few answers they offer to this. First of all, the Ramban in Parshas Vayigash answers, the famous Ramban. Ramban says that the Torah is not going to make a big deal out of a miracle unless that there was a premonition about that miracle beforehand. If a Navi said such and such is going to happen, which breaks the barriers of nature, and then it happened, so that the Torah will go and speak about it and make a big deal of. by Avram Avinu and Sarah, so there was a malach, and Hashem said that it was going to happen, so there was a premonition about it. There was a nevuah beforehand. We knew about it before, so we spoke about it and we stressed the miracle. But over here, there was no premonition. There was no one said beforehand that it was going to happen. Ever. So therefore, the Torah doesn't feel the need to speak about it so much. That's what the Ramban says. Now, you have to think about it. The Gemara says that Miriam had a nevuah that her mother is going to give birth to a child who's going to save Klal Yisrael. So you have to know if that's really a question on the Ramban. But also, even if it is a question, you can say that since that nevuah is not mentioned explicitly in the Torah, so we're still not going to stress the miracle Shabbat. That's one answer. That since there was no nevuah about it, we don't necessarily have to speak about it. Another pshat is quoted in Tesis Hasholim, says that because Yocheved already gave birth when she was younger, so therefore it's not such a miracle that she gave birth when she was 130 years old. So we have to figure out exactly what that means, because we know that Miriam, as at least from the Torah, we know that Miriam had three kids. Yocheved had three kids. Yocheved had Miriam, who according to Ghazal was 3 years older than Aaron, and Aaron, who was 3 years older than Moshe. So she had three kids, Aaron, Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. If Miriam was 6 years older than Moshe, so that means that Miriam was born when Yocheved was 124. So 124 is also a big miracle. So it's still a big... What are you answering, that she gave birth to kids before? So you want to tell me she gave birth to kids way before, but we don't find that she gave birth to kids anyone besides Aaron, Miriam, and Moshe. And in fact, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph, says about Moshe Benu Urim Tlisaya. Moshe Benu is called the third light. And Rashi in Masechet Shabbos says, what does it mean that Moshe Benu is, why is it called the third light? Because he is the third child born to Yocheved. So she had Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. Moshe is the third one. So we see clearly that Chazal, and especially Rashi over here, understood that she didn't have any other kids. So we're just saying she gave birth before. So it could be, and there are other reasons why you could say this, but you could say that what it means is that she became pregnant before, and she had, let's say, miscarriages, Le'ilenu. And that's what it means. Since she became pregnant a few times earlier, so now that she became pregnant when she was 130, yeah, it's not such a big deal, because we find other people that did that. Masha Enkin Sarah, we don't find other people that did that. But because we already see that she could become pregnant. Masha Enkin, on the other hand, Sarah, so Sarah never had any kids before. Vati Sarah Akara Ein Lavola. She didn't even have the biological capability of having children until she had Yitzchak. So there is a big, it was mamish an even bigger nace. Kumi, that's what they mean to say. The third point is that the Barbanel in Parshas Shmais, he argues with this completely. He says, no, Yocheved wasn't literally born Bein HaChomeis. She wasn't born right when they came to Mitzrayim either. He was born like 70 or 80 years after they came to Mitzrayim. And then he makes all cheshbon, and he says that it really comes out that Yocheved was only 50 or 60 years old when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's not such a big nace. It's for sure she was younger than Sarah, and he argues on this whole thing. But we have what Chazal tells. Okay. Al Kapanim, so over here in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is making a cheshbin that Klal Yisrael was only in Mitzrayim for 210 years. So now he asks the obvious question. For Kanu Aymer, it's over here when we're talking about the Brisbane and Besarim, it says in the Pasuk, Va'avodum v'inu Yisrael arba mea shana. It says that they're going to serve them and afflict them for 400 years. Well, where's the 400 years? We just said it's only 210 years. Where's the fulfillment of that prophecy? So it says, Amar Loi Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch said to him, Loi Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeAvraham Ela Mishar Shehaya LeZera. Hashem did not mean to say that the Jews are literally going to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. No, but Hashem said that from when you, Avram, will have offspring till 400 years later, they're going to come out of that foreign land 400 years after you get offspring. Shenemar ki ger yezarecha. Because your descendants will be strangers. Ki biyitzlak ki kari lachazara. what are your descendants, Zera, your offspring? That's talking about Yitzchak, because the pasuk elsewhere says, "Kibi Yitzchak yikara lachol Zera." Avram, Hashem said to Avram Avinu, "No, don't think about that. Yishmael is going to inherit your possessions or whatever, and be your successor. No, Kibi Yitzchak yikara lachol Zera. Yitzchak is going to inherit you." Don't think that your son from Hagar is gonna continue from your, is gonna be a successor. It's gonna be Davka Yitzchak. And umishinayled Yitzchak ve'ad sheyatzu Yisrael mimitzrayim 400 shana. From when Yitzchak was born until the Jews came out of Mitzrayim is 400 years. Let's make the cheshbon. How do you get the 400 years? It's very simple. The Radal speaks this out, but it's a pretty simple cheshbon. Yitzchak was born when Avraham Avinu was 100 years old. Fine. Yeah, from when Yitzchak was born till Yaakov Avinu was born, the Pasuk in Parshas told us, says that Yitzchak was 60 years old when Yaakov Avinu was born. So that's 60 years till the birth of Yaakov. Yaakov, in Parshas Vayigash, stands in front of Paro right when he moved down to Mitzrayim, and Paro says to him, "How old are you? You look like an old man." In fact, I saw the Pirush Rekecha, whatever over there, says that Paro actually thought that Yaakov Avinu was Avram, because he looked like such an old man. He thought it was Avram, but he didn't realize it was a different person. But so Paro says to Yaakov Avinu, "How old are you?" Yaakov Avinu says, "I'm 130 years old." So we know that Yaakov Avinu was 130 years old when he came down to Mitzrayim. So 60 years from Yitzchak till Yaakov Avinu was born, plus 130 years old, the years of Yaakov till he came down to Mitzrayim, is 190. Right? And now we just proved before that the Jews were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Right? So 190 plus 210, there's your 400 years. I know you understand it very quickly, but we have to speak it out.
It's interesting. So the Torah tells us it's 400 years from the beginning, from the time Yitzhak is born until the Jews come out of Egypt.
Right.
It doesn't tell us when they're going down.
Exactly. That's exactly the chiddush. The Torah doesn't tell us when the va'avadim ve'inu islam and when the ger yezaracha starts. It just says it's going to end 400 years after Yitzchak is born. Interestingly, the Radal points out something interesting. He says that when there was in the time of Yitzchak Avinu, Parshas told us, so there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, and Yitzchak didn't know what to do. He has a precedent from his father that when there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, his father went to Mitzrayim. But we also have a precedent that Avraham Avinu, when there was a famine, he also went to the Plishtim, to Melech Gror. So Yitzchak didn't know what to do. So Hashem comes to Nevuah and to Yitzchak, he says, "I'll tear Mitzrayim. Don't go to Mitzrayim." Why? Why didn't Hashem want Yitzchak to go to Mitzrayim? So they say a different pshat that Yitzchak was like a korban and he wasn't allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, whatever. But the Radal says another pshat over here. Because the 400 years was already starting from when Yitzchak was born. If he would leave Eretz Yisrael, now he's going to have to become a servant, slaves or whatever. So he didn't want... Right, so we might as well not start it now. Don't start it yet. But that's what the Radal says. Okay, now the Medrash is going to introduce another set of psukim. In Parshas, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, the Radal speaks out that he doesn't understand how this works out, because first we're talking about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and he lived two, three generations after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now we're going to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Whatever, the generations of the Tanarim that we're mentioning over here is something fishy. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says like this: V'halai k'siv, does it not say in the pasuk in Parshas Boy, Umayishav b'nei Yisrael asher yashvu b'mitzrayim shleishim shana v'abam yashana? It says in the pasuk in Parshas Boy that the settlement of the Jews that lived in Mitzrayim was 430 years. That's what it says. When it's talking about Yitzis Mitzrayim in Parshas Boy, it says that the Jews were in Mitzrayim for 430 years. And the next pasuk says, V'ayhi miketz shleishim shana v'abam yashana. At the end of 430 years, they went out. So it says it twice in Parshas Boy that the Jews were in Mitzrayim for 430 years. Now, I don't understand. If we're talking about from when Yitzchak was born, so it's only 400 years. If we're talking about how long they were actually in Mitzrayim, it's only 210 years. So what's this 430 years? What's the number 430 coming from? So We'll soon see the Chazal talk about this and give a lot of different explanations. But the Medrash is going to say something interesting here. Omar Loi, he said to him, Mosayim v'eser Yeshua Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. The Jews came, lived in Mitzrayim for 210 years, like we mentioned before. V'chamesh shanim ad shelo bo Yaakov b'Mitzrayim. 5 years before the Jews came down to Mitzrayim, noldu lo shnei shvatim liYosef Menashe v'Ephraim. 5 years before Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, before the whole family came down to Mitzrayim, Yosef had two sons who were Shvatim, Menashe and Ephraim. And the pasuk says the Menashe and Ephraim were born to Yosef before the years of the famine happened. So that's at least 2 years, because it was 2 years of the Yaakov Avinu's family came after 2 years of famine. So in the middle of the years of the surplus, Menashe and Ephraim were born. And the Chazal are telling us over here that that was 5 years before the rest of the Bnei Yaakov came. V'hem min ha-shvatim. Menashe and Ephraim are considered from the Shvatim. Shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk, in Parshas Vayechi, by the brachas that Yaakov Avinu gave to the sons of Yosef, it says, Ephraim or Menashe, ki Reuven v'Shimon yili. Ephraim and Menashe are like Reuven and Shimon. Just like Reuven and Shimon are Shvatim, Ephraim and Menashe are Shvatim. So, if you count Bnei Yisrael going down to being in Mitzrayim, from when Ephraim and Menashe were born, because Ephraim and Menashe are Shvatim, so you have 215 years. Yeah? 215 years. Now the Medrash does something interesting. Yomim v'leilis. If you count days and nights of 215 years, so meaning you double it, you get 430. Here you get, behold, you have 430 years. I'll explain in a moment why the Medrash did this. Very gishmak of pshat. But, fine. Now, there's the next line in the Medrash, I don't know exactly how to read this, but this could be, it has something to do with what we're talking about. Shadilah gets the kates. Hashem jumped over the kates. The end of the kates is the end, the end of when the goal is supposed to be, when the goal is supposed to end. Hashem jumped over when the goal is supposed to end. B'zchus avos, in the merit of the fathers, the forefathers, shehem givos olam, because who are the mountains of the world. V'alei makos avomer, about the avos, the pasuk says, kol deidi hineze bo, behold, the voice of my beloved is coming. Medaleg al harim, skipping over the mountains. Mekapetz al gvoros, jumping over the hills. And if you remember, in Perek Hay, we discussed why the Ovis, we discussed a medrash from Chazal that tells us that the Geula happened in the Zchus Ovis and in the Zchus of the Imahis, of the forefathers and the foremothers. And we said that Harem are the forefathers and Gvois are the foremothers. Here it's saying that the Gvois are the forefathers. Maybe there's something missing over here. But in the Zchus of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, the Hashem sort of played around with the Cheshbon. I think that's the way I understand it. Oh, so we said that it was 215 years from when Ephraim and Menashe were born until they went out of Mitzrayim. 215, and it said Yomim and Leilos, days and nights. So you double it, so you get 430. Why are you doubling it? What's the doubling over here? Where does that come in? So, in 2007, the Satmar Rebbe from Kiryas Yisrael came to LA, and he spoke in my yeshiva, and he spoke about this Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and he said the following. He said like this: there's two types of slaves that we find in the Torah. There's something called the Eved Ivri, and something called the Eved Kanani. A Canaanite slave and a Jewish slave. And there are differences between the way you could work with a Jewish slave and the way you could work with a Canaanite slave. An Eved Ivri, when you buy, the Chazal tells us, when you buy an Eved Ivri, you're really buying yourself a master, because like if you only have one pillow, you have to give it to him, etc. An Eved Kanani, is like a piece of it's hard to understand it in the way society understands things nowadays, but it's like a piece of property. You own him, you do whatever you want with him, you work him like a slave. He's literally a slave. Evan Ivry is not a slave. And Evan Ivry has a real social standing, is a real person. You treat him like a regular Jew. He's supposed to work for you. He's like a worker that you have a contract with him 7 years. Masha Inkin and Evid Knani is like a real slave. Right? So the Sadma Rebbe said like this. The Jews, when they were in Mitzrayim, did they have the halachic status of an Evid Ivri or an Evid Knani? So he wants, did the Jews in Mitzrayim, do you look at them, their status, are they looked at as Jews, even though it was before they received the Torah, or do you look at them as Goyim? Because they didn't get the Torah yet, so they're not, why should they be different, let's say, than any other nation? Right? So he says, the way you're supposed to look at it is they had the status of Jews. And therefore, if Paro is going to work them, so he would have had to work them like you work an Eved Ivri. And the way, the halacha by an Eved Ivri is, that an Eved Ivri only works during the day. Eved Ivri works during the day. At night, he's off. Chazal tell us a special chiddush, that since the master doesn't have the right to work his Eved Ivri during the day, so because of that, the Torah gave us the master the right to give a Shivcha Knanis to his Eved Ivri to marry, so that he could be accomplishing something for his master at night. But he's not obligated to work for his master at night. That's what Chazal tell us. On the other hand, the Eved Knani, work him day and night. You can do whatever you want with him. He's like we said, he's a piece of property. You can do whatever you want. So the Sadma Rebbe said like this. When the Jews were in Mitzrayim, Paro worked them as if they were like an Eved Knani. He worked them day and he worked them night. But really, they should have only been working during the day and not at night. Therefore, they worked double than they should have been working. So that's why the Medrash is cheshbening the day and the night. So you had 215 years that they were in Mitzrayim, day, and 215 years, night. That's how you get to 430. That's what Pirkei de Blazer's Chiddush. That's how it answers where you get the 430 years from. That's one mahalach over here. There's a few other mahalachim over here and how to answer this pasuk of 430 years. Tagum Yainasan.
Was Paro ever challenged on this?
Was Paro ever challenged on what?
That he was working them as Avadim Kananim, whereas when they went into slavery, it seems clear that they were taken in as a Jew would be an Eved Yehudi.
Well, I'm not sure what you're asking.
In other words, if they were taken into slavery by Paro,
yeah,
accepted as slaves, as an Eved Yehudi, and he started treating them as Eved Kananim, Evadim Kananim, that's, someone could challenge him on that, say, that's not the deal, you can't do that.
I don't know of anyone else who even talks about this, really. The Radal sort of hints to such an idea when he's explaining the Pirkei de Eliezer, but I only heard this from the Sadma Rebbe Shlita when he came to speak in my yeshiva in LA, and then this is what he said. I don't know any more details about it, but that's his pshat over here in what the Pirkei de Eliezer is trying to say. And there's a few other explanations of what do you do with this 430. Rashi,
you know something, this may have nothing to do with Paro. Nothing at all. It's just that you would have to, a Jew cannot be an Eved Kanani.
But
he can't, okay? So for the purposes of the Heshbon, we have to look at him as an Eved Yehudi, whatever, and if he was working at nighttime too, that gives us the ability to count it double.
Okay, fine. You could say it like that. I'm just saying it the way I remember, the way he said it over. I think that's the way he said it over. I don't remember exactly the... Could be he was trying to say some a bigger picture. This is what the way he said it.
They would get something from it.
Right.
They have to work during the day. If they're working twice as much, then
right.
Then they're working You have to stop counting.
And this, there's also people, if you ever heard this before, that they say, oh, how do you do 400 years or 430 years? I was only 210. So they say, one of the answers, the famous answers they say is like, oh, they worked very hard. They worked as hard as if they were working for 400 or 430 years, but really it was only 210. So that works very well with what we're saying. It fits in with the same thing. Targum Yonason in Parshas Bo'i on that pasuk of Moshe ben Yisrael Shleishim Shana Va'arba Me'eshana, when it says that they were there for 430 years, he translates the pasuk in sort of a funny way that gets us out of this question. It says in the pasuk, Umoishav b'nei Yisrael, the settlement of b'nei Yisrael, Asher Yashvu b'Mitzrayim, that settled in Mitzrayim, Shleishim Shana was 30 years, says Targum Yonason, 30 Shmitas, which is 30 times 7, which is 210. V'arba mi'ay shana, which is 400 years from when Yitzchak Avinu was born. So that fits with everything that we're saying before. We said before, where are you getting 430 years from? So either 210, that's how long they were in Mitzrayim, or 400 in the birth of Yitzchak. Where's 430 coming from? So Targum Yonason is answering that question. He's saying, oh, you're reading it wrong. It's 30 Shemitahs, which is 210 years, and equals 400 years from when Yitzchak was born. So it's talking about both points that we said before, and it doesn't really mean 430 years. That's what Targum Yonason says. Now, Rashi has a different halach. Rashi and Seder Olam goes with a different halach. Rashi and Seder Olam say that we said like this. The 400 years is counted from when Yitzchak was born, right? Says Rashi, you know where 430 years is coming from? From the Bris Bin Hapsarim. Yitzchak was born when Avraham Avinu was 100 years old. Rashi and the Seder Olam understood that Bris Bin Hapsarim happened when Avraham Avinu was 70 years old, meaning 30 years beforehand. So if you count from the Bris Bin Hapsarim till Yetzias Mitzrayim, you get 430 years. We're just going 30 years earlier, and everything is good. That's what Rashi. That's how Chazal understood this 430 years. Chazal, Rashi, and the Seder Olam. That's the easiest mahalach. That's the famous mahalach. Now, of course, the Ramban, like we said before, the Ramban argues on this, and the Ramban says no. Avraham Avinu wasn't 70 years old at the time of the Bris Bin Hapsarim. He was older than 75. So what's the Ramban going to do with 430 years? So we're going to see in a moment. But according to the Ramban, we're going to have to say a different pshat. Another pshat is the Ralbag. The Ralbag, you ever heard of the Ralbag? Gersonides? Rabbi Levi ben Gershon. He's one of the Rishonim. So the Ralbag has like a little bit of a funny pshat over here. The Ralbag says that the 400 years begin from when Yaakov Avinu was born. And according to that, they left 60 years early. Because what's it called? Because Yaakov Avinu was born 60 years after Yitzchak was born. So if from when Yitzchak was born until Yetzias Mitzrayim is 400 years, from when Yaakov was born until Yetzias Mitzrayim is 360 years. 340 years, which is 60 years early. So he says that really the 400 years is supposed to be from when Yaakov is born, which the Medrash doesn't say that, but it's from when Yaakov, and they left 60 years early. And then the Ralbag says, and this number 430 years, so it says, that's from when Yitzchak was born, and according to that, they left 30 years early. So the Ralbag is saying something very funny here. He's saying like there's like two cheshbonos, it's like 400 and 430, and according to this chesed they live 60 years early, and according to this chesed they live 30 years early, and then the Ralbag, both in Parshas Lech Lecha and in Parshas Bo'i, he says this twice. The Barbanel in Parshas Lech Lecha brings down the Ralbag, and the Barbanel says very, very poignantly, he says, V'hu be'emes das zor. It's very weird. What the Ralbag says is weird, because nobody says such a thing. That we're counting from when Yaakov was born, and then there's two cheshbon, weird thing. Abar Ben El doesn't like it. But
how much time was it from the time that Yaakov's name was changed?
We could figure it out. Just we're going to lose the flow if we start trying to figure it out. But How old was Yaakov when his name was changed? Let's see, his name was changed on his way back from after all his kids were born. Anyway, we could make a cheshbon, but I think it must have been somewhere in his 80s, something like that. Okay, whatever. I'll go part of, oh, so now we'll move on to the Ramban. The Ramban in Parshas Boy says a massive chiddush, and this brings us to some very interesting things to think about. But the Ramban says like this: it says 400 years from when Yitzchak was born, that was the original gzeirah. 400 years from when Yitzchak was born till Yetzias Mitzrayim, that was the original gzeirah, says the Ramban. But says the Ramban, because when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, they sinned. As we know, that Chazal tell us that they halol avodah zarah, halol avodah zarah. They didn't keep things properly, and they were influenced by Egyptian culture, etc., etc. Because of their avodahs in Mitzrayim, Hashem added an extra 30 years, and that's why at the end it says that they were in Mitzrayim for 430 years. 400 years from when Yitzchak was born until they were supposed to go out. But Hashem added an extra 30 years because they were doing avodas in Mitzrayim. So that it ended up that they were 400, it was 30 years after. So they ended up coming out of Mitzrayim 430 years after Yitzchak was born, not 400 years after Yitzchak was born. And according to the Ramban, they were in Mitzrayim for 240 years, not 210. It's 210 plus 30 is 240. That's what the Ramban says. It's a massive chiddush what the Ramban says. According to the Ramban, it comes out, according to the Ramban, Yetzias Mitzrayim and the reception of the Torah was not in the year 2448, it was in the year 2478, 30 years later. According to the Ramban, right now, today, from what I understand, according to the Ramban, today is not 5,775, it's 5,805. Because it's really 30 years later than you think it was, because they spent an extra 30 years in Mitzrayim that we didn't cheshbon. That's where it comes out according to the Ramban. It's a massive chiddush. There's a sefer called Me'orei Naim from Rav Azaria DeRozi, who lived in the time of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, lived in Italy, and he wrote a sefer. It was very controversial in its time because he spoke about things that people hadn't spoken about before him. Rav Azaria DeRozi brings this Ramban. He says it doesn't work with our cheshbonos. What are we supposed? According to this Ramban, the whole religion. That's it. Here, close it. That's it. Everything is down the drain. Why? According to this Ramban, you've been eating on Yom Kippur. You've been eating chametz on Pesach. Oh, our cheshbon of the moilad of when the month is supposed to goes from Bris Olam, and we don't know when Bris Olam is because it's really 30 years later. Everything is gone. What are we supposed to do? This is Rav Azaria DeRozi's major question in the Ramban. I'm sure he answers it, but I don't know what he says because I didn't have a chance to look at it, and it's a whole long arichus that he talks about. But another sefer talks about this, Tzemach David, and this Tzemach David is a big Yisraelis in how to understand what the Ramban means when he says things in his Pirush on Chumash. The Tzemach David, his name is Rav David Gantz, he was a Talmud of the Ramah and the Maharal Prague. He wrote the first, not the first, but one of the most important systematic works of Jewish history called Tzemach David. The Tzemach David, the Seder Deris also brings this down from the Tzemach David. He says that you don't understand how to learn Ramban and Chumash. When the Ramban and Chumash says something, when Chazal says something, and then Ramban says, no, it's not true, he argues and he says something else, he doesn't mean to say that, no, the reality is not like the way Chazal said it, the reality is like this. No, of course not. He's not arguing on the reality. What the Ramban is arguing is that, what's Pashat Pshat in the Pesukim? How are you supposed to read the Pesukim? This is how you're supposed to read the Pesukim. Not that what Chazal said is not true. Of course what Chazal said is true, and I agree with what they said, and that's the reality. I'm not arguing about that. I'm just saying that when you read the Pesukim, this is what it sounds like. That's how the Tzemach Tov explains the Ramban. So when the Ramban says that they were in Mitzrayim for an extra 30 years, it doesn't mean that the Ramban believed that they were actually in Mitzrayim for an extra 30 years and all our cheshbonos are messed up. No, the Ramban means that when you read the Pesukim, this is what it sounds like. But of course, the Ramban agrees with what we said from Rashi and what we said from Chazal. Let's say that really it was 400 years from when Yitzchak was born until Yitzchak's time, and that's what it was. And let's say 430 years from Bris Ben Absalom, because even though the Ramban argued about how old Avraham Avinu was by the Bris Ben Absalom, he doesn't mean to say that the reality was that Avraham Avinu wasn't 70, he was really older than 75. He doesn't mean that that's the reality. He just means that in Bukta Mocha B'Torah, Hashem Shana Psukim is that the story of Bris Ben Absalom happened after the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. So you have to say that that's a Hashem Shana. But the Metzias was, like what Chazal said, that's what the Tzemach David wants to say in the Ramban. It's a huge chiddush, but you have to think and see if there's more proofs to what he's saying, or what is not, if there isn't more proofs to what he's saying. But we're going to see next week, Be'ezras Hashem, that Bnei Ephraim, there's going to be a story we're going to learn about next week, that the sons of Ephraim left Mitzrayim early, 30 years early. Yeah? And we're going to speak about this next week more about Arichos. But the Ramban, in the end of his Shtickle and Parshas Boy, says that these Bnei Ephraim that left 30 years early from Mitzrayim, they didn't make a mistake. They made a good cheshbon. 400 years from when Yitzchak was born till now, oh, we're supposed to go out. What they didn't realize was that Hashem added 30 years because the Jews were sinning.
What happened to them?
We're going to speak about what happened to them, but they got attacked and killed, and we'll see. But so that's the Ramban. Just one more nakuda of we'll end off with this. We said that the Jews were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years or 430 years or whatever, and they ended up that they were only there for 210 years. So what did they do with the rest of the years? So we spoke about different cheshbonos of how this works. But one of the mahalchim that the Mefarshim speak about is that they say that the rest of the years, Hashem sort of give them postpone those years and give them a rain check and said you can fill up those years of Golos at the end of the last Golos. So we're in the last Golos right now, and the last years of our Golos are supposed to be filling up the last years, the years that were skipped from Golos of Mitzrayim. That's what a lot of Midrashim and Mefarshim speak about this. That the end of this Golos is supposed to be the tashlumen, the makeup for the end of the Golos of Mitzrayim. So I didn't have a chance to look this up, but the Beis Halevi in his drushes, I believe he speaks about this in two of his drushes. The Beis Halevi says, he says that with this we can understand a very interesting point that we find about Pesach. First of all, the Torah brings this down. There's a famous idea in not an idea, but it's a trick. Sort of a trick to remember how the Jewish calendar works. It's called Atbash. Atbash is Aleph Tes, Aleph Tav, right? Aleph is the first letter, Tav is the second letter. Beis Shin, Beis is the second letter, Shin is the second to last letter. It tells you like this, that using the days of the week that the days of Pesach fall out on, you can determine what days of the week other events in the Jewish calendar for that year are going to come out. So Aleph Tav is the first day of Pesach will always come out on the same day of the week that Tisha B'Av is going to fall out. What's the connection between Pesach, the first day of Pesach, Leil Pesach, where we celebrate the freedom of coming out of Mitzrayim? What's the connection between that and Tisha B'Av, where we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? One question. Second question. The Ramah in Hilchos Pesach brings down that there's a minute that after you finish this Seder, when you make a Maitzi and you eat your matzah and your mortar and your kerech, the first thing you eat in the meal is an egg dipped in salt water. Why? The Ramah says, it's a zecher for Tisha B'Av. It's b'yani b'mrurim hirvani l'ana. It's a remnant of Tisha B'Av. Why on the Leil Seder are we making a remnant to Tisha B'Av? What's the connection between the two? So the Beis Halevi says that on Tisha B'Av, we're not mourning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash as much as we're really mourning the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt in our times. Why is the Beis HaMikdash not rebuilt in our times? That's really what we're mourning. According to that, the question is like this. Why isn't the Beis HaMikdash? Because we're in Golos. So So we, as we said before, that the end of our present Golos is supposed to be the makeup for the Golos of Mitzrayim. So basically he says that when we're doing a remez to Tisha B'Av on Leil Pesach, we're showing the connection between going out of Mitzrayim and the Beis HaMikdash not being rebuilt in our time. Why is the Beis HaMikdash not being rebuilt in our time? Because right now we're doing the Tashlumin for the fact that we went out of Mitzrayim early and we didn't fill the 400 or 430 years and there's still time left. So that's why the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt. So Leil Pesach and Tisha B'Av have a lot of shaykhs with each other. And that's the connection between the two. Thank you for coming. And Be'ezus Hashem, we will see each other next week.